today on the Beginner Photography Podcast.
And I had to stop myself a few years ago. I was in a lot of basically groups for complaining. Like right. It was for complaining. And I had to leave them. I had to stop listening to people, stop listening to, you know, the narrative of just dehumanizing certain things within the photography business of, oh, it's a business. Why are people calling me not during office hours? You know, it's just like, you got to be a human first before you are a business owner.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast. Today, we're discovering the power of humility in photography. So let's get into it.
Welcome to the Beginner Photography Podcast, a weekly podcast for those who believe that moments matter most and that a beautiful photo is more than just a sum of its settings. A show for those who want to do more with the gear they have to take better photos today. And now, your host, Raymond Hatfield.
Oh, welcome back, my photo friends. Welcome, welcome, welcome to this week's episode of the Beginner Photography Podcast. I'm Raymond Hatfield. And this week, oh, so much fun. This week has been so much fun on Facebook, in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group with our Photo Minute Mondays, which are, 1 minute clips with tips and tricks on photography to help you deepen your understanding of how to use your camera. Now, yesterday I posted a video about what are the different creative shooting modes and when to use them. So if you haven't watched that, go back and take a watch. Go back and take a watch. That doesn't sound right. Oh, well. So I have started to create these videos because I truly believe that everyone can learn photography. You know, photography is not this exclusive club, and it's my hope that I can just help bridge that gap for you from vision to technical. Because I know that if you're just getting started in photography, all that you want to do is just to take beautiful photos. You know, there's so much to learn, unfortunately, from camera settings to, you know, lenses to what to use to when to lighting. How do you control all of these things? And that is why I created my signature online photography course called Auto to Amazing. Now, Auto to Amazing, if you've been listening for a while, you know all about it. It is the fastest way to learn how to take control of your camera, guaranteed. Now, my student Patty, who went through Auto to Amazing, I know she's listening right now. Hey, Patty. She said, learning to shoot manual gave me the freedom to be creative with my photography. I went from just taking pictures to using my camera to tell and illustrate a story. So if photography is going to play a big role in your life here in 2021, 2022, beyond, then I want you to take a step in the right direction and start learning how to use your camera effectively. So if you want step-by-step roadmap to taking better photos, then just join Auto to Amazing today and dive right on in. So you can do that by heading over to learn.beginnerphotographypodcast.com. That's learn, L-E-A-R-N, .beginnerphotographypodcast.com. When you join Auto to Amazing today, if you don't feel like you understand still how to shoot manual after 30 days, which, I mean, we dive into manual in the first module, so you're going to learn within the first week. But if after 30 days you still feel like you don't fully understand how to shoot manual, I'm just going to give you your money back, you know, totally risk-free. With that said, I'm really excited to see your progress and all of the creative ways that you start to use your camera to capture the world around you once you fully understand how to use that beast. All right, now today, let's talk about today's interview. I am interviewing wedding photographer Jessica Bellinger, who, well, she had a rocky start. You're going to hear that she had a very rocky start. But she had a passion for photography that, well, she didn't say this, but I can, I guess, express it in my words, is that she must have felt it in her bones. I don't know what it feels like to feel something in your bones, but I feel like that's the type of passion that she has for photography. And honestly, from where she was, you know, maybe photography changed her life. So for premium members this week, Jessica goes quite in depth on just how she uses Facebook ads for marketing and attracting new clients every day. Real in depth. She also wrote a new book called The Humility Paradox, which I will link to in the show notes as well if you want to check it out. So with that, let's get into Jessica's interview right now. At 16, you left home dropped out of school to pursue a life of couch surfing and partying every night, which is crazy. I know, you know, we make a lot of crazy decisions at 16, but this is not exactly how most photographers get into photography. So at 16, could you have imagined that you'd be where you are today, running a wedding photography business, being an author, a podcaster, having an e-commerce store? And when did you know that photography was actually going to play such a major role in your life?
So it is really, at 16, I had absolutely no goals or aspirations. I really thought I was going to be like a drunk forever. And I was okay with it at the time. I was like, wow, this is great. You know, I love this life. I love partying and not caring about anything, you know, but it was really self-loathing. So I ended up, it wasn't until I had my first kid, I was almost 21. I had my first son. Me and my husband had got married really quick after I found out I was pregnant. And my whole life changed. Like, I mean, everything was flipped upside down. Things got real. Whereas before I was just a child doing whatever I wanted. And I had no aspirations to ever go to college or do nothing interests me. And I think that's what was so hard for me is I didn't see a future because I couldn't think of anything I would have ever wanted to do. But when I had my first son, I kind of, you know, obviously I stepped back from everything I was doing. You know, I became a mom. You know, I was drinking not so much after I had him. I think it was after my second son because I had another one. I got pregnant 6 months after I had my other one, my first one. So I had kids, but it was with my second son. I was pregnant. That's when I first got my first camera and that's when everything started. That was about 6 years ago. And when I picked up a camera, I was like, I was so excited. Like I knew I found the thing and I was never sure, like, what if I buy a camera and I don't even like it? And you know, it's one of those things you spend money on, you buy a bunch to get into this hobby and then you just get bored of it. But like, there was no boredom. It was like total obsession. I didn't realize it was going to be a business because I wasn't expecting it to be. I was just like, I'm going to see where this goes. I'm not going to put any expectations. The only expectation I had was to enjoy it and to enjoy taking photos. So, and still today, like I've just basically, it's all but from like love, from loving photography. And, you know, and the positive part is that I get to make money from it. You know, that's great. But even if I didn't, I would still be taking photos.
When it comes to that love of photography, you know, I could hand my wife a camera and she can take photos and she could like them, but she doesn't love the act of photography, right? While obviously others do. What do you think it is about photography that just makes you feel so passionate about it?
I don't know. I feel like I was just born to do it. And when you find that thing you're born to do, you just obsess over it. And like, I feel like everyone does have like that particular thing that they just love and they could think about all the time, you know? And for me, like, I just never got to know if I was going to like it until I bought a camera. Like I had to get one in my hands and then, you know, the obsession started. But yeah, my husband's the same. No interest in photography whatsoever. I mean, he likes the stuff I do, but he would never do it himself.
Right.
Yeah, it's so weird. I don't know why some people enjoy certain things and others don't. I just, you know, I am creative, so I'm sure that has something to do with it. But I've tried other art mediums, and this was the only one that really stuck.
Mm-hmm. So I read your book, The Humility Paradox.
Did you read the whole thing?
You know,
or most of it?
I read most of it. I'll be 100% honest. It's, as you know, like, it's tough with kids around.
No, that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm just surprised you even read it. At all. So
well,
thank you.
I knew that I was going to have you on the show, so I didn't want to show up, you know, unprepared. But I think that it really gave me kind of a good idea as far as like kind of who you are and where you were at when in that time of your life where, you know, you found photography. And I found it, you know, really interesting. I've never been in the situation that you were in. You know, I think it's hard for anybody to put themselves in anybody else's shoes 100%. You know what I mean? But I think where you shared, you know, that time in your life, I mean, you were pretty much just like stuck at home alone, like with nothing to do, right? And it was that camera that kind of helped you out, right? So why don't you talk to me a little bit more about that and like what sorts of things you were shooting when you were just at home?
Right. Yeah, it was a really, really lonely period in my life when I had my kids, because I did decide to be a stay-at-home mom. And it was just agonizing. Some people are built to be stay-at-home moms and be with their kids 24/7. And I was not. I needed something. And I didn't realize that. I was like, I thought there was something wrong with me because it was so hard for me. But I just realized that I was built for other things as well. I needed to have I needed some sort of outlet. So it was really hard, but when I had my camera, when I first got it, I was just taking photos of my kids, my family members, my sister-in-law. I was just practicing all the time, you know, hitting up friends like, hey, can we take photos? I was just like, in my head, I was like, I need to take as many photos as I can, even if it's every day of objects in my house. I just wanted to learn. So I was always like trying to figure out how editing worked and how settings worked and lenses worked. And I just really like spent all my time invested into it. And, you know, a few months later, 6 months later, you know, someone's like, hey, I'll pay you, you know, $20, shoot my family, $50, shoot my family. And that's when it started to snowball. It started to turn into people like, hey, I'll pay you $200 to shoot my wedding. And so, you know, I started small, definitely. My first wedding was actually for free for my sister. But yeah, it just ended up snowballing because I was just dedicated to it and I was passionate about it.
I think a lot of people can, you know, resonate with that feeling. I know, you know, I did in the beginning. I loved something about capturing images, you know, but when we are, I think one of the biggest, maybe not complaints, but comments that I get from listeners is that they don't feel like they have enough time to shoot, right? And here you are, you're saying like, I was just shooting things around the house, you know? So was there anything that while you were at home shooting, just trying to learn as much as you could, that maybe you struggled with in photography in the beginning, something that just didn't click right away?
I don't know. I learned really, really fast. I was a fast learner. I did have a lot of extra time, though. I mean, the business aspect of it was hard, but that's a growing, you know, portion in itself. Like, you know, it takes time to understand, like, photography business. But one thing I would say for people who have that issue and feel like they don't have enough time, you know, when you really love something, you will make time for it. I really believe that we'll find time to do anything really. Unless you really are working like, you know, an absurd amount of hours and you just only have time to sleep and eat. But really I feel like we would have enough time for those things that we're passionate about if we're really passionate about them. And something I see a lot of people get into is they are really, I have people reach out to me how to start booking weddings before they've even learned how to use a camera. They're like, right. How do I make this into a business before they've even learned how to love it? And I think that's where a lot of people get stuck, is they feel like learning is a task because they're just trying to build a business. But I feel like it's not about building a business. It's about, you know, loving photography. And maybe that's just me because I've always like romanticized my photography. Like it's just, I feel like a deep connection to it. But if people don't feel a deep connection to it, it's going to be a lot harder to learn, you know, because it's not something you're necessarily passionate about. You're just wanting to try and build a business. And it catches me by surprise because I'm like, why do people even want to try? Like I'm just like, why do people want to do it if they don't love it? And you know, maybe some people just are more business oriented. I don't know. I'm definitely more, I was in the more artistic, creativity getting into photography. So like the business part, as much as I love it, it didn't resonate to me. Like that wasn't the important part.
Right. I gotcha. So when it comes to, you know, that important part, that being creative, that feeling of capturing something, what about some of your earlier photos? Because as we all know, as photographers, as time goes on, We look at some of those first photos and we're like, what was I thinking? You know? So now that you've kind of gotten to the point to where you have this experience and understanding of kind of what goes into an image, when you look back at those first images of yours, what is it about those images where you think to yourself, like, oh, these are amateur images? Do you know what I mean? Does that question make sense?
Yes. Definitely my editing style was just really bad. When I first got started, I was using a kit lens. And obviously that was just like not working. And so once I upgraded my lens, I was like, oh, wow, these are amazing. And then I upgraded my camera. I was like, oh, wow, these are even better. So I think it was just learning how to use my gear and editing and learn about my style and editing consistently and having it always be similar. That took a couple of years of figuring out how to edit. And in ways that, like, I've always liked brighter photography, but there's been times I've edited way too bright or times I've edited way too dark. So I had to find the good medium to where, you know, you could still see the skin tones, still see the white in the image where it's not blown out. And that took a couple years, but those were things like blown out images was something I would always do, or just, you know, terrible, like contrasted images that are like way too contrasty or something.
Do you think that's pretty standard across the board, across the all types of photographers?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like when you get started, everybody's editing is like kind of wonky. You really have to grow into your style, and it takes a while because you have to learn how to use all the tools. Like you have to learn, you know, and that stuff like takes years. I'm still finding things in Lightroom I didn't realize were there, you know?
Yeah, of course. What about recently then? What's something that you're doing now in editing that you feel like is really putting that signature on your images?
I actually recently am like starting to fine tune my editing style a little bit more. As I mentioned, I had always photographed, or I'm a hybrid shooter, so I shoot with film. So I always edited to match a film look. But I'm starting to get into like a more, not a digital look, but a little more vibrant, because some of the film is like a little less saturated than I would like, because I'm always warming it up and making it more vibrant. So that's something I'm kind of like fine tuning right now, is just creating images, like no matter what the medium is, like just images that I love. For a while, I was trying so hard to emulate film that I kind of got lost in my actual style, because I was just trying to follow this one particular style, but it wasn't even necessarily like my whole entire style, because I do like really warm images. I do like to add, you know, a little bit more depth in the dark parts. You know, I like, not necessarily, because I'm not a moody photographer, but I definitely enjoy like some more drama and using shadows and using harsh light. I love that kind of stuff. And that's something I put off for a very long time. And my style is still the same. It's just getting better. It's just getting like more rich.
Isn't that interesting how you can like go back and look at those first photos and in one hand think to yourself like, what was I thinking? But on the other hand, look at those photos and say, I see what I was trying to do with this image. And today, maybe it wouldn't be too far off from this. But yeah, that's really interesting. It doesn't really change. You're just refining it. You're just fine-tuning it. Yeah.
Yeah. That
I got to think about.
I feel like I've been trying to accomplish the same type of images my whole entire career.
Could you describe that? Like, could you describe what those images are?
I want to say, like, vibrant, lively. I really love earthy tones. I really don't use any artificial light unless I have to ever. So I'm really like inspired by just like natural tones, but also like warmth. So I've been adding more and more warmth in, because for a while I was super, super neutral, keeping my images like really neutral, but I'm just like, I don't know. Like I'm starting to really like more punch in them, I guess. Like a little punchier, but still natural. Like, I don't want to overdo it and be, you know, too moody, too colorful to where it looks unnatural. I still want it natural, but I just want it like more vibrant.
Yeah.
I really don't know what my style is. I'm sure if someone else looks at it, they could be like, oh, her style is yada yada. But it's hard for me because that feels so all over the place.
Oh, I get that 100%. One of the exercises that I tell like premium members of the group, which is all focused on like the business side of photography, is that like you need to figure out what your style is. And one of the best ways to do that is to remove yourself from the equation. Take five of your favorite photos, post them on Facebook, ask people to, you know, use three adjectives to describe your work, and you'd be surprised at how easy people can be like, your work is this, you know, it's vibrant, it's joyous, it's warm, you know, all these things. And then when we look at it, we're like, oh my gosh, like that's what it is. But we never could have come up with all that on our own. So 100% understand that. 100%.
Yeah.
When it comes to your book, I want to talk a little bit about that, right? The humility paradox. Tell me about, you know, I mentioned there in the intro that your start in photography in life was kind of a rough one. And where you are today, I would say, you know, after reading your book, completely different person. So talk to me a little bit about the book and why you wrote it. Hey, Raymond here. If you're sometimes baffled by which camera settings to use, then I've got just the thing for you. My free guide, Picture Perfect Camera Settings. It's a fantastic starting point for anybody eager to understand the basics of camera settings in various shooting scenarios. And it's tailored to beginners who want to get out of auto mode, providing clear, easy-to-follow suggestions on where to start with your settings. So whether you're capturing a stunning landscape or a family portrait, Picture Perfect Camera Settings will help you to get off of automatic mode and explore the possibilities your camera offers. Remember, mastering photography settings is a journey, and this guide is your first step and the perfect resource to guide you towards finding the right settings for your style. So grab your copy today at perfectcamerasettings.com and start your journey to better photos.
Okay, so for those wondering why my life is rough, so you're not left in the dark. So when I was 16, I dropped out of high school, just to give everyone a backstory. And I basically left my house. I was just hanging out at friends' houses. I had an alcohol problem, which now I'm sober. I'm like 15 months sober, almost 16 months.
Congratulations.
Because that did stretch on, you know, through my marriage. It was, you know, something I just always dealt with. But so I was just like basically a mess. It's such a bad mess. I mean, I was like, I will never amount to anything. Even as a new mom, I just never fit in with the other moms. I was like, I still feel like a kid. Like, I just have always felt like a kid. Like, I'm so unprepared for a career, life. I've never been good at anything. I think that was my hardest thing, is I was never good at anything. I was never good at school. I was never good at being a good friend. I was never good at caring about other people or doing anything with my life. So when I became a mom, I kind of got, you know, I identified only as a mom at that point. I kind of fell out of any, I just basically lost myself to being a mom. I just became like a shell of a person. And so after my second, I kind of went through like a meltdown, and then that's when I picked up again. It was just a hard few years. And then, so I ended up writing the book I started writing it about a year and a half ago, maybe like a year ago. And I wrote it more as journaling, because I had an epiphany after I had my first about humility. And my walk with humility started more so where I was aware of my pride. I didn't necessarily do anything to fix it. I just saw it. And I think that's the first step, is just awareness. And it was years of awareness without any actual physical changing of it. I just, you know, I saw it and I lived with it. And that's what it takes, is sometimes it takes years of awareness and knowing where your pride is. And sometimes you still fight with that pride and you don't want to change it. But eventually you get to the point where, since your brain is changing the way that you think, you start to make, you know, conscious changes, physical changes, like it starts to actually pour out into your life. So that's what my book kind of talks about, is it starts with awareness. And so I basically wrote the book by accident. I was just journaling more so about my walk with humility. You know, I started about 6 months after I went sober. So my mind was so clear. I felt like I had learned so much. every single year I felt like I grew 5 years. Like every year I learned so quickly that I was like jumping into like 5 years of wisdom each year. And that's not to brag on myself. That's just, I learned very quickly. Like I learned the hard way very quickly, fortunately, because some people don't learn. So I kind of wrote it as journaling. And then I eventually got to the point where I was like, wow, I have, you know, a couple hundred pages. I should probably make this into a book. So I hired someone to help me organize it, edit it, you know, put it together. And then I published it. And it was just, it kind of happened more so. Again, I had no expectations of it becoming a book or starting a business. It was really out of pure passion for that subject. It was a subject I always thought about. It was a subject, especially in times now where we see social media people acting like, you know, crazy people. I kind of channeled my frustration for the way people were acting into talking about humility, because I felt like that was an actual tangible idea people could grasp, and it could actually transform the way that they feel about things going on, the way that they deal with it. You know, a lot of it's really hard right now. So I feel like people need to understand, you know, where their pride is hiding within all these hardships and how they can practice humility to make it not only easier for everyone else, but also easier for them. Because when you practice humility, you're never at a loss. You have so much more to gain. And there's a lot of pride hiding in the way that we're treating each other right now, the way that we're treating our circumstances. And people wouldn't know that it's pride, you know, until they read a book that maybe outlines where their pride is hiding, you know, just in the way they talk to people or the way they perceive things going on.
Hey, Raymond here, and we are going to get back to today's show in just a moment. You know, one comment that I hear often from new photographers is that they want to use their photography to give back by charging affordable prices. Now, I love the nobility of the Beginner Photography Podcast community for that. But quickly, I see those same photographers saying, you know, that they feel burnt out in photography just a few months later. How can you give back when you yourself are burnt out? You can't. Now, photography is not a necessity, and therefore, by definition, photography is a luxury. When you realize that and you start charging and bringing in more money consistently, well, imagine how much more of an impact you can make on your community. Let me show you the step-by-step roadmap, absolutely free. This is how I can help make an impact. You can head over to firstphotoclient.com and download my free guide that has everything that you need to start charging for your work and get your first photo client. Now, again, that is firstphotoclient.com. Start making an impact by this weekend. Now, let's get back to today's interview. That was a wonderful explanation. And I think that you have an interesting perspective as being a photographer yourself. So I'm interested to hear this from you. But where do you think that as other photographers or as photographers, our pride is hiding?
Well, if you're in any photography groups, I'm sure you've seen people just complain about minute things. And I had to stop myself a few years ago. I was in a lot of basically groups for complaining. Like it was for complaining. And I had to leave them. I was like, and just do things on my own. I had to stop listening to people, stop listening to, you know, the narrative of just dehumanizing certain things within the photography business of, oh, it's a business. Why are people calling me not during office hours? You know, it's just like you got to be a human first before you are a business owner. And so it's really important to remember to be human and to not listen to everybody and to do things your own way and to break the rules. I'm really big on breaking the rules because part of our pride is it wants us to do what everyone else is doing because it's scared of maybe figuring out on our own that if we do something on our own and we mess up, then it would hurt our pride, right? So I think it's important to break the rules in order to kind of determine. I totally lost what I was talking about.
I get it. No, I get where you were going, you know, with it's very easy to there's that chart, and I've seen this chart everywhere. It's like your graph of photography knowledge. And it's like when you're in the beginning, this graph is like incredibly high because we perceive that we know everything about it. Like we learn what aperture is. We learn what, you know, lenses do or whatever. Yeah. And we're like, yes, we're at the top. Like we know everything. But as you go on, your perceived knowledge of photography continues to go down and down and lower and lower and lower. Yeah.
Always.
And unfortunately, a lot of these groups are filled with those who are, you know maybe newer to photography. And we get that idea of like, wait, I know what I'm talking about. This is how things should work. Why is this not happening? Or why is this happening to me? So
really,
I get it.
It's really easy to get stuck in that elitist attitude. I've seen it from many. And also, as you said, yeah, just realizing that you could be wrong on anything you're talking about. When you get into learning and realizing that, you know, maybe you could be wrong about the way that you learn things and be open to learning. So be open to taking advice, even from people who you would think are lower than you. They still have advice to offer. They still have probably learned things that you haven't. It's very important to keep an open mind in that aspect and say, hey, maybe I'm doing this thing wrong and someone else can teach me. There are so many photographers who have plateaued where they just haven't grown because they got to a point where they stopped taking advice from people and they stopped even entertaining the idea that anyone has anything to teach them. I had told a girl one time, hey, I'm in this really great group and you should join it. Like they talk so much about photography and business, yada, yada. And she's been doing it for a while, but like, I just thought that she would enjoy the group. I wasn't trying to, you know, make her feel weird or anything. She goes, oh, well, I've been doing this for a while, so maybe I have advice to give, but I don't need any advice. And I was it's like that kind of attitude that a lot of people do have, but I was like, you know, that's not okay.
Right. One of my favorite portrait photographers and past guests of the podcast, Chris Orwig, said that everybody who he photographs, the way that he photographs them is that he tells himself that they know something that he doesn't know. And that it's his job to kind of find something new from every person who he interacts with, which is always taking that beginner's mentality, which I love so much. But going back to, you know, that idea of business of photography and, you know, doing things right. You know, when we're in the beginning, early stages of a photography business, there's just, you know, when we're unsure of who we are and what our message is, we try a million different marketing techniques. So over the years for you, what have you found to be working the best to attract new clients for you today?
I would say always posting on social media. Mainly Instagram has really, really helped me. One thing I did that really helped me grow fast and grow word of mouth was always pumping out new content. Even when I wasn't working, I was finding things to photograph and post. And I was using hashtags, you know, tagging people. I was finding couples that would let me shoot them for free. You know, I was doing, in my off time, I was always creating something. I mean, for like a whole 2 years, I was always photographing. And that's what you have to do. You really have to build a portfolio and you really have to build content to be able to post all the time and do it for free. I did so much work. I still do work for free. You know, because I really believe in that anytime you do work for free, it's never in vain. It's always learning. And that's why I don't necessarily need to second shoot, but I second shoot all the time because I feel like I'm learning what someone else does. And also I'm really big on the servant mentality of even if you think you've made it, finding ways to serve within your industry and being a servant to other people. And sometimes it hurts our ego, especially if we feel like, you know, we've made it, we make enough money, we don't have to do it. But like, I really feel like it is a way to walk in humility. And it is a way to say, hey, I still have something to learn from someone else. I still want to cultivate this relationship. And I want to serve other people. I think that's such a big deal.
You know, my next question was going to be how has humility grown your photography? But I think that you pretty much just answered it right there, you know. But I want to go back to the whole Instagram topic real quick, because I can tell you, you know, a lot of photographers could be posting on Instagram every day, but maybe they're thinking to themselves that they're not necessarily booking clients because of it. So are you doing anything in particular as far as do you have any sort of strategy when it comes to Instagram to get people to contact you? There are two ways to bring home more money with your photography business. You either get more clients or you spend less of the money that you make. CloudSpot Studio helps you keep more of what you earn. With the lowest payment processing fees in the industry, the average photographer will save $300 annually. And that's just more money to invest in essential gear like a new flash or a sweet camera bag. You know, one that is perfect for storing all of the wedding day snacks that you can pack. But it's not just about savings. CloudSpot Studio is designed to streamline your workflow. Easily organize shoots, send contracts, questionnaires, invoices, and you're really going to enjoy the hassle-free payments. So sign up for a free CloudSpot account at deliverphotos.com. And as a bonus, you're going to get access to my exclusive wedding and portrait contracts and questionnaires at no additional cost. Why let fees chip away at your profits? Empower your photo journey with CloudSpot and watch your business soar.
So I have a few. The first thing I told you was I'm always photographing people, having content, tagging people. That was what I did at first, was to build word of mouth. I just tried to photograph as many people that I hadn't already photographed to kind of make myself known as a photographer in the area. Next, I started posting to Instagram. I don't necessarily have a strategy. I just suggest posting every day. Mm-hmm. And using hashtags, tagging locations, tagging people. But then I also, a few years into my business, I started running Facebook ads. I learned how to run ads. And that's been very helpful. It brings traffic to my Instagram, because when you run Facebook ads, you also are running Instagram ads. It brings traffic to my website, and I get a lot of clients that way. I get at least half of my wedding clients through Facebook ads. Mm-hmm. And then everyone who's been to my website also gets retargeted. So they're seeing my stuff over and over until they hire me. So that's something you definitely have to have someone help you with that, though. Like, it's a lot to learn. So I spent like a good 40, 50 hours learning Facebook ads.
Right. There's a lot of stuff there.
Get the other stuff done first and then start doing Facebook ads. But if you feel at a loss, change your tactics. You can't just only post to social media if it's not working. You'll have to, you know, run an ad somewhere or advertise somewhere. You know, those things do really help. Just do it smart. You know, I've advertised everywhere. I've advertised a knot, Style Me Pretty. And Facebook ads has been number one for me so far. The rest, I felt like I wasted my money. But it also depends on your area that you're in.
So why do you think, because I'm sure that maybe you've seen in these other Facebook groups, but so many photographers say Facebook ads don't work, Facebook ads don't work, where I'm of the same mindset as you, where I love them. Why do you where do you think that disconnect is?
The disconnect is they probably just don't know enough or know how to run them. I think it was like a year of almost running them with little to no return to really learn what worked. Mm-hmm. And then I finally found an ad copy that worked, and it was not complicated. I was overcomplicating it before, thinking I needed to do the landing page and do this and do that, which some people do that and it works fine, but that was too much work for me. And then I just found out an easy way to kind of draw people into my website and then target those people. And they were the kind of audience that, you know, I wanted to photograph, because I had been targeting like some people for a while, and then I hired they hired me, and they were like terrible people to work with.
Oh, no.
So then I eventually figured out how to target the right kind of audience, because, you know, you can definitely target some like not so great.
Right.
People. But it's just learning. As I said, I spent 40 to 50 hours learning within the span of a few months. Thank you, Gary Vee. He gave some great advice that you need to spend like 40 to 60 hours to learn Facebook ads. So I took his advice. I did it. And then over the span of a few years, you know, I still spent hours learning.
Yeah.
Just on my free time, messing with things, changing my audiences, changing my budget, changing my target. Like, I mean, it just took a lot of learning, but it's really important to understand, because guess what? There are so many photographers getting clients that way. And if you're not doing it, someone is taking those clients and someone is getting in front of them before you are. You can't just sit and wait. You have to get up and do what everyone else is doing. Or you're going to be left behind. You know, unfortunately, this is the way things are going. People are on Facebook and Instagram so often that I think it's really important to learn. As a beginner photographer, though, I wouldn't stress it so much. I would really hone down first on your style, your consistency, getting the gear that you need, and, you know, trying the word of mouth of people in your area, taking photos of people that you live close to, you know, tagging, getting content, because you really need content and stuff before you can do all this. Because if people see your Facebook ad but go to your website and you only have one wedding or two weddings, they might not trust you as much, you know, if they don't see enough content on there.
Let me ask you two more questions. The first, for that Facebook ad that you found to be very helpful, you said the copy was pretty short. Did it just take the audience or whoever was viewing the ad straight to just your homepage, or was it a special page on your website?
So I run a few. I have one that brings them to basically a page that is a blog post of, like, you know, 10 tips for your photos for your wedding day or something like that, that kind of walk you through, like, you know, this is where your ceremony should be so that the sun is in the background, you know, like stuff like that, like things to remember about your wedding day. And it gives you like tips or whatever. And, so I have that. It draws a lot of traffic. And then I retarget all that traffic with a retargeting ad. And then I think I have another ad that just...
Real quick, before you go into that other ad, for your retarget, is that more of a direct, hey, contact me today for your wedding? Or does that take them to another side? So that's hey, here, come to my contact page, inquire about your wedding date.
Yeah, or it says something like, I know things are hard. You need someone who, you know, with COVID, it like mentions like everything going on. Like, I got your back. It, you know, we can do this together. And it either goes to my contact page or like my galleries.
Gotcha.
I can't remember, but yeah, it just brings them in. And then I think I have another ad that's similar that targets that doesn't retarget traffic. It just like cold targets people to come to my website, and I still get traffic that way. You always have to kind of like reel them in, like I've got an offer. Even if you don't have an offer, you just have to make going to your website sound so enticing. Like, you know, I know things are hard. If you need anything, you know, just ask. And I think at the end of it, I'm like, and if you were affected financially by COVID, you know, just let me know. Maybe we can work something out. You know, you do have to be flexible with that. So whatever people say, definitely, you know, also be human. You know, I know we need money, but also some people have been really financially hurt. And so it's good to be, you know, a little human about that and understanding. Yeah. And also, you know, take the work you can get. If you're not getting booked, just take whatever you can get. It, you know, not whatever, but, you know, at least make money. You got to bring something in. So.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute, because, you know, when we think of humility and, you know, making money, there can be a bit of a, you know, contradiction when we say I charge, you know, X thousands of dollars to shoot a wedding, when other photographers are only charging, you know, $200 or $500 to shoot the entire day. So playing devil's advocate here, if it's not selfishness, if it's not pride, then why charge more than the majority of other photographers out there?
Right. It just depends on what it's worth for me. Like, I don't want to leave my house for 8 hours for $200. So that's not worth it for me. But if someone just needs money and they're starting out, you know, do it. And I have no problem with that. Everyone started somewhere. I started there. I'm not like, oh, you're hurting the industry. I'm just like, you know, those people who hired them weren't going to hire me anyways.
Yeah.
And that's fine. We have different clients. We have different things going on. We're in different stages. And that's totally fine. And, you know, I have given people huge deals that I've just really connected with, and they were going through hard times, but they loved me. They loved my photography, and we've worked things out. I've never been so sturdy in my prices that I can't be human first. I feel like sometimes people get stuck with that. Like, I'm worth this, but like, you know, it's really not, I'm worth this. It's more so, what is it worth to me? Do I need that extra thousand? Do, you know, would it be, I'm not going to get offended. Like, mm-hmm. they're undercutting me. It's like, well, first of all, no, they just can't afford it. As long as they're not rude. If someone's rude, they probably won't work with them. But like, usually when people are asking for a discount, they're really polite. And I've always been lucky. I had great, great clients, no matter what they've paid me. So, you know, never be afraid to take what you need. Like, what is it worth to you? Do you need that extra $1,000? Okay, take it. You know, do you need that extra 500? It doesn't matter what the rest of the industry says. And if they say you're undercutting the industry because you're doing what if for 500, you know, do what you need to do, especially right now for people who have families and stuff like that. Like, if you need to put food on the table, you know, take $500.
So what about, let's explore that a little more, because I know that, you know, I got two kids, I got a wife, and every once in a while we like to go somewhere. You know, is it okay to still have wants if it's not necessarily needs? Like, if I have everything that I need, we have a roof over my head, I got food in the fridge, like, I'm not worried about those things. Is it okay to still want things?
Do you mean, like, is it okay to still, like, give out deals? Like,
I guess what I'm saying is, like, still kind of going based on that same thing of like, there's going to be a photographer who's going to charge $500. I'm not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But I also, you know, we want things as a family. We would like to go see things. We'd like to go on trips. We'd like to, you know, help out as much as we can in the community, but I'm not going to take $500 to shoot a wedding. Is there any sort of contradiction there, or is having desires still?
I think that if you won't take $500, then it's just not worth that to you to leave your house and to be away from your family. Mm-hmm. You know, because our obligation is mainly to our family and enrich our lives. You don't ever want to feel like a slave to what you're doing. So, I mean, there are plenty of times where I'm like, I'm not driving that far to shoot a wedding for that price. There's no way. Or this time of year is way too busy. I can't take on anything else. I'm not going any lower on my pricing. There's plenty of times and most of the time I don't go below a certain amount. And I just respectfully send them somewhere else. And I think that's, it just depends on what it is worth to you. If being away from your family for a lesser amount is just not worth it, then it's not worth it. And those are your prices. And that's fine. And that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of times I do that as well. But there's also been times where I'm just trying to make ends meet, where it's been slower. And I've just, you know, did what I could during that time. And then I've also, you know, there are times like in January, February, March, I have so many weddings, like there's no way I'm doing anything else extra for a lower price, you know, because I don't even have time. It's not worth it to me at that point. Maybe in the summer when it's slower and I'm not having as many weddings, but it just depends.
Right. Oh my gosh. I think that pretty much summed up exactly kind of where I see this struggle in my head. Like, that summed it up
right
perfectly well. As well as, you know, I have to thank you for sharing. That was a pretty detailed breakdown of, you know, how you use Facebook ads and kind of the strategy that you use around it to not only obviously get people to your website with that awesome blog post idea, but getting bookings and why so many photographers, you know, say that it's not working. But, you know, as you said, it is. It is. So, again, thank you for sharing that. Thank you. Yeah. In your book, you say that humility treats every person like they're the most important person in the room. Every life has equal value, even if you're convinced that somebody else doesn't deserve that value because they either cheated you, lied to you, stole from you. And then later in the book, you share that you were once late to a shoot because, you know, there was no parking or something, and the family just chewed you out. So, please help me understand how you still treat this person as if they are the most important in the room when, you know, you've had enough that you're ready to just cut ties.
Right. Well, I'm luckily very patient. I just let them run their course. And I was just like, okay, I will do what you guys need to do. You know, I'm just going to shut my mouth. I did call my husband after, pretty upset. You know, it was definitely very confusing because I'm a really nice person. I was not trying to do anything to make them upset. I literally couldn't find parking. It was out of my hands, so I knew that it wasn't me, it was them. And I just had to forgive them and serve them the best I could, no matter what, try to make their day as okay as possible. I wasn't the only person they yelled at, so I understood it wasn't just me, but you know, it's hard. I've been hurt by a few clients, and even at other jobs I've had, not even necessarily photography. And you just, and I know we know this, to not act out, to not, you know, yell at people, yell back at them. But yeah, I mean, they, you seem to love those kind of people even harder. Mm-hmm. And your love and your like life's meaning is basically measured on how you love people that treat you poorly. 'Cause that's where the real test comes. It's easy to love people that are easy to love, but it's hard to love people that are hard to love. So I feel like our life's purpose really boils down to how we treat those people that are hard to love. And that really shows our character more than how we treat people that are easy to love.
So I totally understand what you're saying right there, but sometimes there's just going to be people who are not worth your energy. You know, like, what is it worth to you? Like we were talking about. And there have been couples, there's been families that I have said to myself immediately afterwards, I'm never going to work with them again.
Oh yeah. No, you said that about these people. I would never work with them again. Yeah, you have to set up boundaries. And I mean, if someone is completely inappropriate, you know, stand your ground lovingly, be like, you know, excuse me, but this is not how we're doing this. Definitely, you know, stand up for yourself, but in a loving way. There's still a way to, you know, deal with these people lovingly, even if you never work with them again. You know, and sometimes you do have to do that. Be like, you know, this is enough. No, thank you. We're not doing it this way. You can't talk to me like that. It didn't get so out of hand that I had to do that, but it definitely, you know, if it did, I would have had to do that. Mm-hmm. But it was only like a 2-hour elopement. And they like, you know, chewed me up within an hour into it. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Oh no.
I was so, like, this was supposed to be easy.
Yeah, this is only going to be 2 hours. I was going to get this done. So does any of that ever affect as far as like, you know, the things that you, like, would you not post something of theirs on social media? Would you maybe, if you had two sessions that you were editing, maybe work on the other session first? Like, are these things that we that are okay, or is this something that we just, you know, just gotta grin and bear it?
Well theirs, because it was like mostly inside, so I wasn't going to post it anyways, just because it wasn't necessarily my style. Mm-hmm. But they were happy with the photo. Like, they didn't give me grief afterwards at all.
Oh, wow.
I don't
Good.
Think they even realized the way that they were treating me. Like, I think that's just how that they were. So now, obviously, if they were upset with me still after, I'm not going to post their photos. I'm not going to give them more attention. But it actually made me work on their photos faster because I just want to be done.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to be done with it. I wanted them gone and just not to deal with it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But they loved the photos. So I, you know, it was definitely weird. It just depends on the situation. You know, there's been times where bad taste has been left in my mouth and I just don't want to look at those photos again. So I don't post them because I just don't want to remember, you know, all the trauma. But I don't treat them differently. I don't edit slower because of it. You know, if anything, I probably edit faster so I don't have to keep it in my head anymore. And
I feel like I'm not that I'm painting you in a box or anything, or that I'm like putting your feet. I feel like I'm putting your feet to the fire here, you know, and that I'm really trying to. What I'm trying to get at here is that, you know, when it comes to humility, when it comes to operating a business, I feel like sometimes these can be two separate things, because we as humans, as much as we want to help out as much as possible, as much as we want to, you know, be a member, a contributing member of society, we're still just emotional people inside, mm-hmm. you know, and that there are days where, you know, I have a bad day. And unfortunately, that affects, you know, the people around me. And if that's a client, that makes it tough because, as you know, running a business is already hard. You know, photography is not as easy as just pressing a button. And when they make that harder on me, sometimes I kind of, you know, ask myself, I don't know, like, what am I doing here? Do I want to continue to do this? Because I know that there were sessions in the beginning for me that I delivered it. And I'm thinking of one specifically where it was a mom, it was a family, and their daughter, she was like 19 months, right? She was still very young, and she had a cold. So all of her photos, you know, big red nose, and she's looking all snotty, and like her eyes are kind of half closed. And it was like the winter time. And, you know, I did what I could do, but the mom basically said, you know, what can we do about these photos? Because, like, they're garbage. Like, I don't want any of these photos. And my reaction is, that's not my fault. You know, this right. is your daughter. She's the one who's sick. So, I don't know. There wasn't really a question in there, but is there anything that you kind of picked out of that to talk to? As far as the human psychology goes, or
I talk about this in my book. Is you have to understand sometimes people's expectations are way out of line, uh-huh. and you have to understand that that's not always your fault, and you just have to learn that people are imperfect and they're going to try to blame you. You know, and I'm someone who I don't take crap if people are really being mean to me or really picking on me, you know. But I'm also very merciful. Like I'm patient. I understand, you know, that people are imperfect, and I just think it's really important to remember that people are going to give you crap and hell throughout your career, and that's just what happens when you are in a service-based industry. Because photography is service-based, you're dealing with people and trying to please them. And you have to learn to forgive people and not let it make you bitter towards the industry as a whole. But if you're feeling yourself so drained, maybe it's time to move on to a different type of photography or a different type of business. And that's kind of why I started my online business. I also sell cosmetics online. I sell nail polish. And so I started that because I did want to move away from being so service-based all the time. I still do weddings and stuff, but I also wanted something else, some sort of income to lean on so that I was not completely at the mercy of my photography clients. I wanted, you know, a little bit more freedom, which I'm still at the mercy of my nail polish clients, but it's just over email now.
Yeah.
Like I don't have to deal with them in person. So that kind of makes it nice, but, you know, and sometimes you need to change and pivot. So maybe one day I'll be doing e-commerce and then just be doing photography for my family and for fun and for things that I love and enjoy. And I won't be doing weddings as much. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for kind of taking my my tangent of a question and forming it into something with a reasonable answer. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm really good at taking questions and talking about something completely different.
No, it helps.
I forget the question by the end of whatever I'm talking about because I've gone on some sort of other like. Oh, my brain just like doesn't stay in one place.
You got a lot of ideas. I get it. I want to ask about one of your chapters in the book. It's called Do You Really Deserve That? And I think that you hit home something that I know is holding a lot of new photographers back. And that is kind of this idea of either my photos are way better, why are they getting all the work and I'm not? But also, their photos are so much better than mine, who am I to even try and compete at that level? Can you talk about who deserves to be a great photographer and who does not?
People who really deserve stuff are the people who don't believe that they deserve anything. Those are the people who generally win or are on top. And not necessarily in what they get, but in the idea that their life is rich, that they really, you really grow richly when you have no expectations of what you might deserve. And so as for that, being a photographer, I think that I've seen so much of it. Photographers getting jealous of each other. I have lost friends who saw me breaking into the industry and doing really well. And I could tell that they were jealous and backed away from me.
Yeah.
And I was just like, why? You know, you have so much to offer as well. We have different things to offer. And oh gosh, I've seen the jealousy so much. I've seen it, you know, really discourage people from wanting to even try because they see someone else doing better and doing it quicker. You know, and sometimes you get backhanded comments from friends because of it. And it's, you know, it's just like there is no rhyme or reason. Some people it takes them 10 years, some people it takes them 2 years. And it's okay no matter what, because that's not what it's about. It's about enjoying your passion. It's about making extra money if you can. It's not a competition. It's not about who is better, who's more popular in the groups, who has the most followers. It's just about doing what you're passionate about. And if you're only focused on that, then nothing else is going to matter. You're not going to get jealous of the people around you. But if you're focused on all the wrong things, all the things that are linked to your ego, then you are going to get jealous of the people around you because you're more focused on your pride than you are about just being a decent person and living a good life. And so, yeah.
It does. I was going to say, and I've said this before, I don't think that there's a better way to end this podcast than that right there, because again, that really is something that so many people struggle with. That is the idea of, there's those two thought patterns, either I'm not good enough for this or I'm way better than this. How is this happening to me? And I think that for both of those, you explain that very well and kind of a mindset shift as far as how to deal with that. So, Jessica, before I let you go, can you let the listeners know where they can find you online and keep up with everything that you're doing?
Yeah, so I have like 7 Instagrams, but this is one of them that you can find, and it kind of links to my other ones. It's Jessica Bell Photog, PHOTOG, Jessica Bell Photog on Instagram. And it links to my other ones. I have like a book Instagram, a podcast Instagram, my e-commerce, my personal. So you can find it there. And then I have a website, jessicabellinger.com.
These are the types of stories that I love because, I've been shooting for years, since I was, pretty young, maybe only seriously or in a professional sense in the last, 10, 11, 12 years or so. But I never had any sort of like major transformation where like photography changed my life, So hearing these types of stories is always so much fun to me. I love that. I think my biggest takeaway from this episode was just simply how life is just such an ever evolving process from the photography side, from shooting and editing. She's still working on these things. She's been doing it for a while. She has a pretty recognizable look. And yet she's still working on these things. And I feel that. I never went to school for photography. I went to film school for like motion pictures and whatnot. So sometimes I often feel like an imposter, believe it or not. So hearing another photographer going through the same thing, really makes me feel much better about where I'm at and what I'm going through. And it's my hope that you can find that same feeling either here listening to interviews with other photographers or in the Beginner Photography Podcast Facebook group as well, where, people open up and then they share their experiences when shooting and they ask questions that, you're probably asking yourself as well. So being open to other people's experiences and learning kind of where they're at, I really think is going to make you feel a whole lot better about what it is that you're doing in your photography right now. So hope that you got a little bit of inspiration out of this week's episode. But with that, that is it for this week, my photo friends. Until next week, I hope to see you in the Facebook group. And if you have any big takeaways from this episode, feel free to shoot me an email at beginnerphotographypodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Beginner Photography Podcast. If you enjoy the show, consider leaving a review in iTunes. Keep shooting, and we'll see you next week.